Amen. Good morning. And Merry Christmas to all of you this morning. Joshua chapter 1 this morning. Joshua chapter 1. God has something for you. We are in the midst of a series looking at the calls of God upon different figures throughout the Bible. And during our spiritual life weekend, we looked at Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Jonah. And then last week, we picked it back up and we looked at Moses. And today, we're going to look at Joshua. And Wednesday night, for our Christmas Eve service, we're going to look at the call of God upon Joseph and Mary and continue on wrapping it into the new year. But this morning, we're in Joshua chapter 1. Would you please follow along with me as I read the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1. After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Get ready. Cross the Jordan River. Lead these people into the land in which I am ready to hand over to them. I am handing over to you every place you set foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the wilderness in the south to Lebanon in the north. It will extend all the way to the great river Euphrates in the east, including all of Syria, and all the way to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to resist you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not abandon you or leave you alone. Be strong and brave. You must lead these people in the conquest of this land that I solemnly promised their ancestors I would hand over to them. Make sure you are very strong and brave. Carefully obey all the law my servant Moses charged you to keep. Do not swerve from it to the right or to the left, so you may be successful in all you do. This law scroll must not leave your lips. You must memorize it day and night so you can carefully obey all that is written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. I repeat, be strong and brave. Do not be afraid and do not panic, for I, the Lord your God, am with you in all that you do. It is my hope and prayer that this series will encourage us to follow whatever God's call is upon our life. For God always has something for us, some part for us to play in His kingdom through every season of our life. It may not be to lead a nation, as was Moses and Joshua's responsibility, but God has some part for us to play, and He just wants to see if we are willing and available to follow that call. Before we get into the specifics of this passage this morning, a few things. First of all, we will learn in this passage that God's purposes are unfailing, that God's promises are unfailing, and that God's precepts are unfailing. We can always count on that. In fact, before we get in here, I want to roll the clock back a little bit in Joshua's life and get us to where we pick it up here. Joshua was born in Egypt during the 400 years, right? He grew up there. He has been following Moses for the last 40 years. In fact, back in the book of Numbers, it is recorded, if you know the stories of the Old Testament, you know that there was a time where the people began to murmur and gripe and complain about no water while they were wandering around in the desert. And so God told Moses, you go to this particular rock and you speak to the rock and water will come forth and I will provide water for my people. Moses did not listen to what God said. Instead of speaking to the rock and the water coming out, he struck the rock, not once, but twice. And because God said, you did not show me holy before my people, you will not be permitted to lead them into the promised land. Moses was not a guy that had an ego. So he, at this moment, he's not like, oh, you know, God, he's upset with God or whatever, or thinking about himself. He immediately says to God, when God tells him, you're not going to be the one that leads my people into the promised land, he immediately says, well, God, somebody has to. Somebody's got to shepherd these people. Somebody's got to lead these people. And his thoughts were immediately towards the nation of Israel and what was going to happen to them and who their leader was going to be. And it's at that moment that God says, I choose Joshua. And I want you, Moses, to lay your hands upon Joshua at this point, to anoint him and even bring him before the high priest Eleazar and have him confirm before my people. Now, this was years before this happened. But what I'm saying that for is that Joshua always knew in the background of his mind that this day was coming. He just didn't know when it was going to be. In a sense, think of him as sort of the backup quarterback on the football team. He knows at some point probably the lead quarterback, the starting quarterback's going to go down for some reason, or if he stays long enough on the team, he's going to retire, he's going to move on somewhere else. It's going to be his time at some point. That's where we pick it up in Joshua chapter 1. The other thing I want to mention before we get into the text is this. All of us can humanly identify with what Joshua is feeling at this point, what his emotional state is, for this reason. He has had his spiritual significant other taken from him. He's had his mentor, his Paul, the one that he looked up to all these years. He's now in heaven with Jesus. He's no longer physically present with him. How would you feel if your spiritually significant other person, the person that is Jesus to you more than any other human being, what if they were taken from your life? Your Paul, your mentor, your spiritual leader, if you will. How would you feel? That's where Joshua is at when we meet him in Joshua chapter 1. And the first thing I want us to see from this passage regarding the calling of God upon Joshua's life and our life is this: Joshua's preparation. Notice again verse 1. After Moses, the Lord's servant, died, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses' assistant. Again, for the last 40 years, Joshua has been preparing for this moment by being Moses' faithful assistant. He has been Moses' understudy, Moses' apprentice, Moses' support, Moses' helper. He has watched how to lead the nation through the leadership of Moses, and he has faithfully done it. Listen, God has been preparing Joshua for this moment. It's not like, again, this happened in a vacuum. This happened unrelated to all the other events of his life. In fact, last week we emphasized that when God called Moses, that God's calling upon our lives is set within the context of our entire life. God is always preparing us for what's ahead. And he's using all of our circumstances and all the things that we've experienced and all the things that we've went through to prepare us for these moments. Listen, folks, none of us knows what the future holds, but God does. Amen. God knows what we're going to need tomorrow, the next week, the next month. And he knows what we're going to face, what the challenges are, what's going to be out there. We don't. And so that's why God says, you've got to trust my preparation, my work in your life. The things that I'm doing, the things that I'm calling you to, the things that I want you to be a part of, the things that I'm allowing you to experience and be a part of, all of that is your preparation. Life is preparation from God's perspective. And there's nothing purposeless in our life as a follower of God. It all is part of God's training, if you will, of our lives. And so Joshua just didn't come to this moment and all of a sudden, you know, get thrust into this and it totally blindsided him. Think about it. For 40 years, he'd been preparing for this moment. And somewhere, several years back, He knew this day was coming. He just didn't know when it was going to be. So let me ask you today, so that we can apply this to our own lives, what is God stirring in your heart today? What is God preparing you for? What is God allowing you to go through and take you through that's going to set you up for prosperity and success down the road? Because that's the way God works. You see, the reason why we can benefit and profit from this study of the call of God in other people's lives is because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He works basically the same with all of us as human beings. And so God, just as He prepared Joshua for this day, He's preparing us. All of life is preparation. But here's the thing. Joshua was faithful in the little things so that God knew He could trust him with greater things. You see, for 40 years, Joshua, in a sense, was behind Moses. And he was okay with that. He also did not have an ego. He wasn't jealous of Moses. He wasn't envious of Moses. He wasn't looking at his watch, waiting for Moses to die so that he could finally be the leader. No, that's not Joshua's attitude. Joshua's attitude is, I'm going to be the best follower that I can be. Because what we learn in the Word of God is this: no one can lead in God's kingdom unless they can learn to be a good follower. Amen. Leaders in God's kingdom are great followers because we have to learn to follow. In fact, a leader in God's kingdom is simply a servant leader, one who is following. Even Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We all have to learn if we're going to lead in God's kingdom to be a good follower. And some Christians have a hard time following. We all need to learn to follow. You say, but the person that, you know, is my leader, the person I'm following, you know, they've got all kinds of hang-ups and look at all the things, that mistakes. Yeah, God can use that too. God can use everything. Sometimes God has us in positions that are underneath people in authority over us, and sometimes it's not even learning about how to do it, but how not to do it, you see. There's all kinds of reasons why God has us in the places with the people and in the positions that He does. But know this, just as Joshua was a good follower, we need to learn to be a good follower, and we need to learn and trust that God is preparing us for whatever He has ahead of us. Amen. Joshua's preparation. But then you come down to verse 2, and we notice Joshua's purpose. Just as we saw last week with Moses, God always has a plan and always has a part for each of us to play in that plan. And God, at some point, if we are listening, He's going to reveal what part we are to play in that greater plan, because it's always bigger and greater than us. God always calls us to something that is bigger or greater than us. So what part, what purpose does Joshua play? Well, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. God buries His workers, but never buries His work. His work goes on because it's cross-generational. Get ready, Joshua. Cross the Jordan River. Lead these people into the land in which I am ready to hand over to them. Go down to verse 6. Go past the first four words, and then you'll pick it up there. You must lead these people in the conquest of this land that I solemnly promised their ancestors I would hand over to them. First, go back to verse 2. The first thing God says to Joshua, get ready. It literally in the Hebrew means to arise. Rise up, Joshua. Step into this. Step up. This is what I've been preparing you for. This is what your whole life has been looking towards, is this moment. Now I need you, Joshua, to step up. I believe that God is saying that to some of you today. He's saying, I need you in this season at this moment to rise up. Amen. I need you to step into and step up into something that I've been preparing you for, that I've been stirring up within you. And I need you to trust me. I wouldn't be calling you to this if in my timing, I didn't feel you were ready for this. I have put all the training into you to get you to this point. Now I'm just asking you, obey my voice. Listen to me, Joshua. Now's the time. Step up. Step up. Then he tells Joshua in verse 2 another command, because both of these are commands. The first command is get ready. The second command is cross the Jordan River. God does things differently than we do in the world. In the world, when we're trying to get folks to step up or step into something new, especially, we like to lob softballs. We like to give them something real easy at first so that sort of like they get their, sea legs under them, if you will, and get some confidence in whatever going. God works differently than that. Now, God wants to build confidence, but he wants to show us right away, I want to give you something hard. I want to give you something challenging so that you will see from the very get-go, Joshua, that with me, you can do anything. Because notice, he says twice there in verses 2 and in verse 6, I'm ready to hand this over to you. If God's ready, then we should be ready. God says, I'm ready. I think he's saying that to us as a church, too. I'm ready to do more here at the Oasis. Is the Oasis ready? How about in your life? I'm ready to do more in your life. Are you ready? Because I'm ready, God's saying. But why do I say crossing the Jordan is such a big deal? Because if you go over to chapter 3 real quick and look at verse 15, God chose the timing of this crossing. And notice, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest time. God's like, I want you to lead this whole nation across the Jordan River, and oh my, it's at flood stage. I'm not asking you to lead them whenever it's a little trickle, whenever it's mostly dried up. I'll be there and provide some supernatural miracles and stuff, but I want you to stand next to that river when it's raging. When it's running fast, when it's running over the banks, that's when I want you to cross. Because God wanted Joshua and the nation to see, you're going to need that kind of confidence in me and what I can do through you as you take possession of the promised land. And so right away, I need to give you this assignment so that you can see that there is no obstacle, no opposition, no challenge that with me, you can't rise above it. Cross the Jordan River at flood stage. We live in an area of the country, sad to say, that we see the devastating and deadly effects of flash floods. We know that how devastating it is when water rises and all of that. And listen, when I lived back east for the first half of my life, I was, on those rivers back east. I used to, in my crazy days and in my younger days, I used to go white water rafting down the Youghiogheny River in Pennsylvania. That's the river that the Olympic team practices on. And I would go down there sometimes at flood stage. Whenever they would say, you got to sign this consent form before we'll let you go out there on that raft. But listen, I know what it's like to be on a river that is raging, filled with rapids, and running fast. It's intimidating. It's scary, you see. I've always lived in places before I moved to the desert where there was rivers that flooded. My hometown, there was the Potomac River that flooded. In fact, back in the 20s, my hometown, Lisa's hometown, flooded so bad that in the 20s, the Army Corps of Engineers came in the 1920s and literally built a flood system to prevent the flood from devastating the whole city ever again. And then we moved to New York and we lived next to the Susquehanna River and we saw it flooded. And then, you know, like I said, I grew up. God's asking Joshua, cross the river at flood stage. But I'm going to hand it over to you. I'm going to get you across that river. Sometimes God is calling us, and the first thing we see is some daunting obstacle. Whether it's a giant like Goliath or a raging river or whatever, we're going, oh, whoa, God, you must have a mistake. You must have made a mistake. You called the wrong person, or, you know, that shouldn't be there. And God's like, no, you don't understand. The reason that's there is because I want you to see what you can do with me or what I can do with you if you just listen to me and trust me. This was Joshua's purpose, and his purpose now was to lead the nation. Again, what part does God want you to play? May not be to lead a nation of people, but God has a part in this season of your life for you to play. Are you trusting him enough to arise, to step up, to step into it, and to cross whatever that Jordan River is, that very first daunting, challenging obstacle in your way? Why do you think once they even got into the promised land, what did they face first? That daunting city of Jericho. Why does God do these things? Because God wants to show his people what he can do through us if we just trust him. Then that leads to Joshua's prerequisite. Notice that four times in chapter 1, these words are used, and three times God repeats them. I think that means it's pretty important. What is the prerequisite for Joshua to lead his people? Verse 6, be strong and brave. Verse 7, God says, make sure you are very strong and brave. Verse 9, I repeat, God says, be strong and brave. In case you didn't get it the first time and you didn't get it the second time, I'm telling you as God the third time, you need to be strong and brave, Joshua. In fact, the last four words of the chapter, notice in verse 18, is be strong and brave, told by the people to Joshua. Why does God need his people to be strong and courageous and brave? Because whatever God has for us is bigger than us. It's greater than us. It takes us outside of our comfort zone. And the only way we're going to follow it and we're going to accomplish God's calling in our life and achieve it is if we do it in the strength and in the courage that God supplies, you see. God is not telling Joshua, you be strong in your own strength and you be courageous in your own courage. No. When he says, Joshua, be strong and courageous and brave, he's saying to Joshua, find all the strength and courage and bravery you need in me. Because human strength and human courage and human bravery has a limit to it. It's finite. But the strength and courage and bravery that we can receive from God is limitless. There is no end to it. And so God can infuse his people with this supernatural strength and courage to where we can do things and accomplish things and achieve things that we would never think about doing on our own. Amen. But when we know God is with us and God is calling us to these things, then hopefully we are willing, like Joshua, to step up, to step in, and arise to whatever God is inviting us to be a part of. Let me ask you this morning, how strong and brave are you this morning? And are you trying to live your life and follow God's call in your own strength, in your own courage, in your own bravery? Are you allowing God's strength and courage and bravery to take you beyond yourself? Because again, that's part of God's calling. God doesn't want us just to experience what we could do on our own. God's got bigger plans and bigger purposes for us. God wants to take us beyond ourselves. Remember, we've just spent how many weeks on the God is Able series where we have learned over and over again, our God is able by the power that is working within us to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine. Not just beyond, far beyond. Our God is a beyond God. However far we think we can fling it, God can throw it further. However far you think God can take you, God can take you further. And so God is saying to Joshua, you see, that's the other thing. Sometimes it's like, we think, well, God's asking me to do something and it's not going to really, you know, make much of a difference in my life. Oh, no, it's going to make all the difference. It's going to transform your life. You're going to see that you're a different person more than you ever imagined. We're going to talk about this next Sunday with Gideon, but I'll even use Peter as an example. Jesus sees Peter and says, nah, you're not Cephas anymore. You're Peter. Because God always sees our potential. He always sees who we could be in him, not who we are, but who we can be. And so he's saying to Joshua, Joshua, be strong and courageous. May we be strong and courageous and brave enough to follow whatever God has for us. And then notice in verses 7 and 8, Joshua's preoccupation. God basically tells Joshua, Joshua, as the leader of my people, as you follow my calling, and this is true for all of us who follow God's calling in your life, the word of God must be a priority. We must become a people of the book, a people who prioritize and who are preoccupied with God's word. Notice what he says after brave in verse 7. Carefully, Joshua, obey all the law. I'm not just giving you my word so that you know it here, but so that it can be fleshed out and lived out in your life. My word is to change the way you live, the way you think, the way you respond, the way you act, the way you talk. It should change everything about you, Joshua. Do not swerve from it to the right or to the left. Don't get off track. Stay on my word. That's how you'll be successful. That's how you will prosper. And then verse 8, don't let it leave your lips. If you're going to talk, if you're going to speak my word. It is life-giving. It is life-changing. It is life. Jesus even said, the words that I speak to you, they are life. And then he says, you must memorize or meditate on it day and night so that you can carefully obey it. We should internalize it. We should absorb it. We should make it part of us. It should be engraved and inscribed upon our minds and our hearts. We should meditate on it, ruminate on it, ponder it, consider it over and over again. It should become such a part of us that we don't necessarily even need a physical book or today having our phones in front of us, but we know it because it's in here, you see. That's what God is saying to Joshua. Are we making the word of God the priority that it should be in our lives? You know, this is a great challenge, especially at this time of year, because many Christians around this time of year look to the next year and begin to set goals. Well, here's a goal for you to consider. How can you and the Word of God have a deeper, better relationship in 2026? Is it through reading the Bible from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation? And not just reading it to read it, but to read it to absorb it. And let it change you. For some of you, maybe the challenge is, I need to get out of my comfort zone with some of the books and passages that I always go to. And maybe in 2026, I need to study a book I've never studied before. Or a part of the Bible I've never really dug deep into before. Maybe I need to start memorizing portions of it and verses of it. Maybe I need to start concentrating more on applying it, making sure that what I'm taking in every day is how I'm living it out. But whatever the goal is, all of us would do well to make the Word of God a priority. So we've seen Joshua's preparation, Joshua's purpose, Joshua's prerequisite, Joshua's preoccupation. I want to intentionally now leave you with Joshua's provision. I want you to look at verse 5 and then at the end of verse 9. God says to Joshua, "No one will be able to resist you, to withstand you, to stand against you all the days of your life." What a promise. And by the way, again, going right through the God is Able series, why is no one going to be able to do that to Joshua? Because God is able. If we believe that God is able, sort of, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's what God is saying to Joshua here. If I'm for you and I'm calling you and I'll be with you, then you don't need to worry about anyone getting in your way. It's not that you won't have challenges or obstacles, but they won't stop you. They might slow you down a little, but they won't stop you, you see. And then he goes on to say, "As I was with Moses," and oh, by the way, Joshua had 40 years of experience seeing how God was with Moses. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not abandon you or leave you alone." Verse 9, "For I, the Lord your God, am with you in all you do." God is saying, Joshua, here's the deal. The only thing you really need to know and trust is that I'm with you. That's all you need. Because if I'm with you, I'm enough. I'm sufficient. Whatever challenges, whatever opposition, whatever obstacles you face, I'm big enough, I'm great enough, I'm with you, you can trust me. My purposes are unfailing, my promises are unfailing, my precepts are unfailing. There's nothing about this, Joshua, that I haven't already taken into account. Every contingency God takes into account, when God says, "I'm ready and I'm going to hand this over to you," no one or nothing's going to thwart God's purpose. God just wants us to be on board with who He is and what He can do through us. And that's what He wanted to see in Joshua's life. That Joshua was willing to step up and step into and arise to whatever that calling was in his life. How about us? Are we willing to step up and step into whatever God is inviting us to be a part of in this season of our life, knowing that God is with us? Because just like Joshua, God is saying the same thing to us. God said to me long ago when I started this church, "Jeff, I know you're freaking out, but I'll be with you." Okay, I really don't have anything else that I can push back on. If you're going to be with me, I'll say yes. That's all God asks is you've got to know that I'm with you and that should be enough for you. Folks, the hardest step, they always say, is the first step. And some of you, God is saying to you, "I need you to take this step with me." And trust that when we step out in faith, God steps in. He steps in with His presence, with His power, with His provision, with His protection, with everything we need, as He says to Joshua, every step of the way, "I'll be with you. My presence should be enough." You see, when we follow the call of God, we have His promise that He will be with us every step of the way. Are you willing to step out in faith, trusting that God will step in when we step out or step up? That's the challenge, the encouragement, if you will, before us today. I know God has more for each of us. I know God has more for us as a church. He always does. That's the God that He is. That's the way He works. He had more for His people. Think about this defining day. The judgment upon Israel was now over. Think about that. Those 40 years of wandering is now done. It's in the past. Judgment has been had. It's a new day. The promised land awaits. And God just is saying, Joshua, I need you to lead these people because I'm ready. God is ready. Are we ready? Nicole, I'm going to ask you and your worship team to come. And as they come on the platform, would you stand and join me in prayer? Father, I pray today that each of us, God, would trust that you have a part for us to play in your kingdom right now. Lord, you're summoning us. You're inviting us. You're calling us to something, God, to more of you and more of what you have for us. And God, I pray that through our worship, through our time in the Word today, that all of us, Lord, have been encouraged to be strong and brave in you, to step up, to arise, to step into what you have for us, knowing, God, that you are with us every step of the way. May each of us, Lord, leave your house today realizing that your purposes never fail, your promises never fail, your precepts never fail. We can count on them. And so, God, because we can count on you and count on all that you provide for us, Lord, may we have your strength and courage to follow whatever you have for us in this season. We look to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.